everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my engineer producer, Mr. Ray Allen. Together, we welcome you to our midweek edition. It's the 21st of September, 2016. Hope the week's going well for you. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI. It's Tucson's voice, and perhaps just as importantly, if you're anywhere near a computer, anywhere in the world, you can have worldwide listening to our program at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, we've got all of our podcasts. Pretty much every show we have done, our six-year anniversary for this radio show will be coming up in January. All those shows are archived 24/7, available for you at buckmastershow.com. We have a very full hour as usual. We begin with the 25th anniversary of Biosphere 2. Then at 12:30, we have U.S. Senator John McCain joining us on the live line from Washington. Well, it was September 26, 1991, that's 25 years ago, that eight scientists sealed themselves inside Biosphere 2 in Oracle, Arizona for two whole years. That story was front page news all over the world. Two of the original eight are with me in studio to mark the anniversary of the original Biosphere 2 experience. Jane Poynter, who spent her 30th birthday inside Biosphere 2, had been on the design team working on the project for years before she was handpicked as one of the select few. Tabor McCallum was a founding member of the Biosphere 2 design team as well. He was involved with development test and the operations team, he being one of the original crew members in that first two-year mission. Tabor, who Popular Science magazine named Inventor of the Year in 2008, is now Chief Technology Officer of the Tucson-based Worldview Enterprises, which will be taking voyagers to the edge of space in a capsule using a high-altitude balloon. While inside Biosphere 2, Jane Poynter co-founded with Tabor, whom she later married, Paragon Space Development Corporation, which develops technologies for extreme environments. Jane Poynter is now president and CEO of Worldview Enterprises. Jane and Tabor, good to see you again.
You too.
Thank you.
Happy 25th, I guess.
Yeah, 25th. And in honor of the occasion, you have one of the original Biosphere 2 t-shirts, and it looks like it's in pretty good condition still.
Yeah, and I wore this inside Biosphere 2 while I was digging sweet potatoes and everything else that we did to grow our food and recycle our air and whatnot.
So Biosphere 2, Tabor, didn't just like a couple of months before you all were sealed inside. It wasn't just something that the idea kind of came about very suddenly. From what I understand, you and Jane had been on separate research projects for years, really, before the whole thing kind of came together that we knew and know as Biosphere 2.
Yeah, the idea for building an artificial biosphere is actually a pretty old idea that has many threads. The idea for doing Biosphere 2 in this incarnation really came out of a meeting in the early 80s where fundamentally Buckminster Fuller double dog dared Ed Bass and said, if anyone's going to build a biosphere, you guys are going to build a biosphere to help us understand the planet. And of course, Bucky Fuller, you know, wrote about Spaceship Earth and the whole idea that it's an interconnected system. And so that's really what led to the Bass family getting behind the project.
And the Bass family had, as I say, all sorts of research projects. Jane, you spent some time in the outback for a year, right, with the Aboriginals. How did that go?
It was amazing experience, you know, first of all, as a young woman going to Australia and really experiencing such a different culture. But as part of Biospherian training, I mean, it was, I didn't know I was on Biospherian training at the time, frankly. I was out there doing some really exciting work ecological work out in the savannah there on a cattle station.
In an isolated place.
That's exactly right. So there was a handful of us. We were cut off during the wet season for several months. So we literally were on a little island in the middle of the outback for months. And it was a spectacular experience. experience.
And Tabor, you did a lot of work on the sea as a diver. And so in many ways, the Biosphere 2, once you were sealed inside, would be kind of like being, I guess, on a ship out on the ocean, correct?
Well, that's sort of what we thought. And in many ways it was. You've got a crew that you have to work with. And, you know, that crew is what saves your life or makes things happen. One of the things I think we didn't understand was, you know, you have maybe a 20 or 30 day voyage, and then you get to port and cut loose and see new people, and you go your own way. After about 6 months in the Biosphere, we all started looking at each other going, you know, where's port?
And that leads me to the whole thing of the human dynamic, Jane Poynter, about you've got 8 people. I don't know how well you knew these other folks. Did you know them for a long time, or had you just met them in a couple months earlier, or what?
Yeah, it was fascinating. So we did know each other pretty well. Most of us knew each other pretty well. I mean, I was out at sea with some of them as well. I was also on the same boat as Tabor for a period of time. And so
you knew Tabor, obviously.
Yeah, I knew Tabor. I knew most of the crew members for months, if not years, because also we were all on the design team before we went into the Biosphere. So I think we all expected that we would get on, you know, really well in there, because we were also incredibly dedicated. I think I can speak for every single individual in there. Even though we didn't get along and we didn't see eye to eye, the one thing we saw eye to eye on was that we were there for the betterment of the project, and we were all going to see it out. So I think it all took us all by surprise when we didn't get along terribly well.
And the faction developed. We've got 8 people, and it started, Tabor, it split pretty much 4 and 4. The human dynamic came into play. What were some of the disagreements about? And I know there were other issues, and we'll get into them, about oxygen levels and but from the human point of view, what was it that caused the split?
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting. When you look at groups of 8, they generally tend to split, and they can split into 2 sort of, you know, people who like to hang out together groups, or you often see in the Antarctic, there's a very tight split over sort of management and science. And I think, you know, what were the things that we felt like we split over was, you know, what's the best way to learn the most in the 2 years that we have? Should our science objectives and engineering objectives be modified as we go forward, as we learn more about the Biosphere? There was a lot of ideas in the beginning, you know, nothing will go in and out for 2 years. And, you know, a lot of us cringed the day we heard that, you know, mm-hmm. of course, you know, we're going to learn something and need to bring something in. And that's why there's airlocks, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of machinations back and forth. And I think it becomes really hard to stay objective in that environment. It's hard to have sort of touchstones of what's real and what's important. So we all sort of latch on to different things.
Yeah. Was there... I know there was this issue too with oxygen. How low did the how bad did it become, Jane Poynter?
Yeah, so the oxygen was it was both one of those dreadful things because we were losing oxygen, but at the same time it was also very exciting because it then said we really had to dig into this system that we'd built to understand it, to really understand why we were having this problem. Where was this 7 tons of oxygen we were missing at one point? Where was it going? So it got down to about 14.2%, which is the equivalent of being at Lhasa, which is about 15,000 feet in altitude.
In Tibet.
And then we did inject oxygen. And it was actually Tabor's job on the inside to really figure out where it went. And that's where Columbia University originally got involved in the project, was to really help us figure out where this oxygen was going and understand it. And it was a tremendous boon to the science of the project.
When did people, was there a time, Tabor, that people started talking about walking and ending the experiment early?
When the oxygen got to a point when we were seeing some, beginning to see what could become physiological issues, we either had to leave or we had to bring in oxygen. I mean, that was sort of the decision we had to make. And it was clear that the best thing to do was to, you know, put in a measured amount of oxygen. And we'd know, you know, how we changed the system and what we'd done and continue on. Because the mystery of where the oxygen was going at that point and why we were responding to it physiologically in the way we were was still something we hadn't answered. And so we were very concerned that if we sort of end the mission there and all walk out, that the answer to these questions, you know, will never come. And so this seemed like the best way to get as much science out as we could.
So
if I can just add, I think one of the important things is to think about what were we trying to accomplish during this first 2 years.
Right. What was the goal? What was the mission? Bottom line, what was the mission?
Yeah, so was really to understand, is this possible? Can you take a biosphere that has evolved on a planetary scale and put it into this small sealed container in very different configuration, right? So the atmosphere to the soil to the ocean, completely different to planet Earth's makeup in that sense. And will it persist? And will it? And if something goes wrong, will we understand why it's gone wrong and how to fix it? And so it was crucial to us to understand what had happened with the oxygen, where it had gone, and how would one fix it in the future? Because that's fundamental to the answer of, is this possible? And the answer is, yes, it is.
All right. So that issue was solved eventually, Taylor?
Yes, we did finally figure out through a complex set of sort of biogeochemical reactions was eating up the oxygen in a way that nobody really anticipated.
Deborah McCallum and Jane Poynter will continue our discussion about the 25th anniversary of the Biosphere 2-year experiment, which is fascinating to think about, that 25 years already gone. Anyway, be right back. It's the Buckmaster Show.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call 5-star, that's 5-star, 886-0045, and 5startermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're marking the 25th anniversary of the first of the two experiments, the closed experiments at Biosphere 2. The first one happening September 26, 1991. 8 original Biospherians. I have 2 of them with me in studio. Jane Poynter and Tabor McCallum are with me, and we've been talking about some of the preparation for Biosphere. But Tabor, what did we learn in Biosphere that can be used and is being used in space exploration?
See, one of the things that was very interesting about the Biosphere was that we had very, very clean water. We produced water essentially being condensed out of the air, and that water was very clean because it was transpired out of the plant leaves. And seeing that that was such clean water always stuck with me, and so developed with Paragon Space Development Corporation here in town, a system that uses membranes to mimic how plants purify water. And that's been selected by NASA to go to the International Space Station and be tested in a couple of years, with the idea that it would be a water recycling system to take to Mars for Mars exploration. So there's certainly been technology feed forward from Biosphere 2 looking at how we go and explore worlds like Mars.
When you came out of the sealed environment, Jane Poynter, what was that experience like, and what did the so-called real world, what did that smell like, taste like, what was it like?
And when we came out, it was a very exciting day, of course. We'd made it through the 2 years, and there were lots of friends and family on the outside, so that was very exciting. And so I was looking forward to, you know, the big hugs and
big
high
hugs
fives.
And, yeah,
yes,
and
exactly.
Hugs and kisses.
Exactly.
We missed you so much.
Missed you. And we all threw our arms around each other, and I reeled back because we do indeed stink out here.
Oh, my goodness. So,
but we stink of things like hairspray and perfumes and soaps and all of those kinds of things that we used, not hairspray, but we did use soaps and things like that in the biosphere, but it was very organic. There were no perfumes. And of course, my nose hasn't smelled anything like that.
Yeah.
And the exhaust from cars and things like that. That was quite outrageous. And then we had a big party that night, which was lots of fun. And then the next morning, I get up and I notice that there are 2 giant rubbish bins, garbage bags, full of garbage. And of course, for 2 years, we had recycled everything. And so it just smacked us in the face how very different this world is out here from the type of systems that we had developed for Biosphere 2, where everything is really fully recycling.
Is there something in particular that sticks with you from the experience that you're able to use right now with Tabor in your business enterprises?
Oh my gosh, where to begin? Everything.
One of the ways is sort of how we organize engineering. There was many different systems in Biosphere 2 that all had to work together and talk together by computer and function well and not contaminate each other. And so we see this in some of the vehicles we're developing now, where there's many different subsystems, and we have to organize the teams around putting those subsystems together and then understanding how the whole thing behaves. So Biosphere 2 was this set of subsystems put together that whose behavior was hard to predict from the subsystems. And often you'll see that in a balloon-based system as well, whereas some of the behaviors you get from the vehicle isn't exactly what you thought it would be.
You've been doing some balloon launches recently?
WorldView had a balloon launch for NASA a couple of weeks ago, and we flew a solar pointer to do some studies of the sun, and it was a very successful flight, and we're looking at doing another one later in the year.
Do you think the worldview experience was kind of misunderstood by the coverage around it, Jane and Tabor, that it was just going to be these very expensive balloon rides and not realizing that you've got contracts and research projects with NASA that don't involve taking tourists?
Well, I think there's two things. So absolutely, it was not clear initially, apparently, that we are in fact using these balloon systems as what we call stratolites. So think of them as satellites, but in the stratosphere, and you can do many of the same kinds of things that you could, whether it's for remote sensing, communications, weather, research, all of that kind of thing. And we do indeed have numerous contracts for that. Very exciting and growing business. But I also think that there's a huge underestimation and a misunderstanding about what this human experience is going to be. It is going to be an extraordinarily transformational experience for some people. I think that what we are wanting to do, you know, it's not just take people, you know, rich people for a joyride, right? That's not really what
like
this is about.
Like a carnival ride or
something. Yeah, that's not what this is. This is taking people to really experience something that so few people have to this point been able to experience. And many of the astronauts that have gone up to space and seen the Earth from that vantage point, many of them find that is so moving that it transforms them and their lives. That's what we're really doing with this. We're taking people up for a transformational experience.
Why balloons? How did that all evolve, Tabor, real briefly?
Well, it turns out my father sent instruments to the edge of space under balloons to study how our galaxy works. He was an astronomer. And so I'd been exposed to balloons for a long time, and it struck us in 2011 as a very elegant way to take people to the edge of space. And also, it turns out that there was a big market for sending instruments to the edge of space in the same way.
Now, Paragon, Worldview came out of Paragon?
Right. So, yeah. Paragon Space Development Corporation.
What was the chronology of that real quick?
Paragon was actually founded while we were inside Biosphere 2. One of our other founders is Grant Anderson, who is running Paragon today. We wanted to form a company that brought together the life sciences of Biosphere 2 with the aerospace engineering background that Grant Anderson brought to it. And we did many successful projects, and Paragon's still going great under Grant Anderson's super tutelage. We then in 2011 thought we wanted to look at incubating a company that wasn't a supplier to NASA and operators, but was actually an operator itself. Mm-hmm. And that's where the idea of Worldview came along, and through to 2014, Paragon incubated Worldview, and then Worldview split out separately right after the StratX flight, where we took Google executive Alan Eustace to 136,000 feet and back.
Wow. So there was plenty of time during that two-year period to think of projects and companies like what evolved into Paragon.
Yes.
I mean, how did you spend your time? Did you watch TV, or what did you do?
So we did a lot of work. We had an entire world to manage.
Yeah.
You know, we thought a lot also about the future and about this planet that we live on. I mean, one of the seminal experiences from inside Biosphere 2 was the experience of being so embedded in our biosphere. In the sense that, you know, out here our biosphere is so big, it's very difficult to really think of ourselves as part of our biosphere. Whereas in there, you know, I knew moment by moment that the plants around me were providing us with our oxygen, and we were breathing CO2 out that was becoming the sweet potatoes we were growing, for example. And we ate so many sweet potatoes that we went orange.
Are you
literally
kidding?
Yeah. So in that sense, we could actually visibly see our interaction with our biosphere, and we monitored our CO2 in our weather report every day. So it was this incredibly intimate experience with our biosphere, and it's that relationship that really has brought us into the future and has also inspired what we're doing at Worldview.
And people will be, men and women who go to Mars are going to have an experience of being in a closed environment. environment for a long time, right, Taylor?
And that was part of why it was called Space Biosphere's Ventures, was to begin working on systems that not only informed us about the Earth, because Earth is a space biosphere, but also how we would take humans to other parts of our solar system.
And Space Biosphere's Ventures was the company that actually did Biosphere 2, spawned Biosphere 2.
So bottom line, and I've only got a minute left, Tabor, what would you say kind of the whole, how did this experience leave you when you reflect now to the back 25 years? What comes to mind first?
First off, we understand a lot more about how our Earth works because of the Biosphere 2 project and how the biogeochemical cycling can be simulated in a small environment. This was really a new idea. Remember, at that time, we were just beginning to see anthropogenic change on Earth. And the other one that sticks with me to this day is what an amazing amount can be accomplished by a small team.
Tabor McCallum, thank you very much. And Jane, your final thought?
So my final thought about the biosphere was that it has been and remains an incredible facility. I would welcome everyone to go out there if you haven't been there. It really is extraordinary. It was way ahead of its time. It was an incredible technical success. I really take my hat off to Ed Bass and everybody in the early days who stood behind this incredibly audacious idea, as you called it, Tabor.
And UA College of Science doing a great job.
And now that the university, yeah, exactly right, and absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, UVA is doing fabulous research up there.
It is a must-see visit.
Yeah.
Tabor and Jane, thank you very much. Congratulations on your many accomplishments. Thanks for visiting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tabor McCallum and Jane Poynter on the 25th anniversary of the first Biosphere 2 experiment. On the live line coming up, U.S. Senator John McCain. Lots to talk with Senator McCain about. If you'd like to get in on the live line, 790-2040. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Viral Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up at noon on Thursday, we'll have an interview with Arizona Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. Also, we talk with Tom O'Halloran. Mr. O'Halloran is the Democratic candidate for Congress in CD1. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, and we've got worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. These very popular seminars they're doing Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. each day. They are free. Great gardening tips. Go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. I know this Saturday they'll be focusing on winter vegetables, growing your own winter vegetables. Let's go on the live line now to U.S. Senator John McCain. Senator McCain, how are you?
Fine, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Just had a very interesting half hour with Jane Poynter and Tabor McCallum, two of the original eight Biospherians. Hard to believe. 25 years ago, they were locked into the Biosphere 2, the first sealed experiment, for 2 years.
Wow. I'm sure they had a very interesting time. That was a great experiment, and one that certainly caused a lot of controversy in its day, as you might remember.
And it has. And UA College of Science now doing a great job with Biosphere 2.
And you know that's true because it's not in the papers anymore.
There you go. There you go. Senator McCain, is this the new norm, this homegrown terrorism like we saw over the weekend in Minneapolis and in New York and New Jersey?
Yes. Yeah, and I predicted there'd be more attacks, and I predict that there will be more attacks, and that isn't so authentic as it is the view of the Director of National Intelligence and the head of the CIA have both said the same thing. Whether it's one sent by Baghdadi in Raqqa, Syria, where the caliphate is, and given a secure app and joining the refugee flow, or this self-radicalized individual that gets on the internet and reaches a point where they want to, it's usually young men, occasionally a young woman, but usually young men that are willing to give up their lives in order to take the lives of others. And it's something that's going to be with us for a long time. And it wouldn't be what it is if it hadn't been for the failure of Barack Obama, who decided we would leave the Middle East and, quote, lead from behind. And when you lead from behind, somebody else leads from in front. Look at this latest debacle with the Russians bombing the aid convoy to help the starving people in Aleppo. And now our Secretary of State will go back and beg from the Russians again to try to give them some comfort, when the fact is that he has nothing to negotiate with because America has no strong hand in the region.
They've got this global counterterrorism forum going on in New York. One of my friends, who is now the State Department correspondent for the Voice of America, interviewed the co-chair today, and he says, "You think we've got problems now?" He says, "Wait till we get rid of ISIS, and you got thousands of foreign fighters going back to different countries. What do you think about that?"
Well, I think that that's a problem, but I also think the reason why they've enjoyed the success that they have is for the first time a terrorist organization has their caliphate, in other words, their capital. There's, for example, there is a chemical weapons factory in Raqqa. They have to be taken out. Otherwise, they will, as I mentioned to you, Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, is calling in young men as we speak and giving them a secure app and telling them to get to some country so that they can communicate with them and commit acts of terror. So, look, the facts are stubborn things, as Ronald Reagan used to say. We had it won in Iraq, and the president decided to pull everybody out. In the words of his national security guy, we were leaving behind the most peaceful democratic and prosperous Iraq. Then Al-Qaeda went to Syria, became ISIS, and you know the rest of the story. This is a direct failure of American leadership after we had won the conflict at great cost to American blood and treasure. And we're either going to kill them there or we're going to kill them in the United States of America.
We have a caller. I think it's our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Senator McCain. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Senator. You know, one of the things that we learned from Biosphere 2 is how much data you can actually get from failed experiments. What is the data? What are we learning from the various failures that we have had in foreign policy? And specifically, you know, what are we learning about Syria that will help us with Turkey and perhaps a Kurdistan, a sovereign Kurdistan or anything like that?
Jim, I thank you for that because I puzzle about it and talk to people and read that because this is the challenge of the 21st century. Start with, there is no substitute for American leadership. And to say that the United States can withdraw, you can go back to early 2009 when there was a demonstrations in Tehran and the people were chanting, "Obama, Obama, are you with us or were you with them?" And we didn't even say a word on their behalf. There's no substitute for American leadership. Second, you have to pick your fights. Third of all, I think you have to understand that there is also a psychological factor here, and that is that why is it that young people, particularly men, are turning to a perversion of the Muslim faith, which then causes them to go out and commit acts of terror and be attracted to organizations such as ISIS. And that is going to require a long ideological struggle. The same way that we had an ideological struggle in the Cold War with what communism was all about. It eventually collapsed and caused the then Soviet Union to collapse. But the immediate problem, of course, is a terrorist capital, a caliphate, from which they can arm, train, and equip people and send them out to commit acts of terror. And also, because they have been able to establish that, their success has inspired people as far away as Central Africa to join their ranks. And so, short term, we have to kill them there or we're going to kill them here. Long term, this is an ideological struggle and there's a whole lot of factors, including economic, that are associated with it, as I'm sure you appreciate.
You had quite an endorsement, Henry Kissinger and George Shultz coming on board, urging Arizonans to send you back to Washington. Mr. Kissinger saying the world still needs John McCain. Pretty high level endorsement there. I'm sure you're very pleased with that.
I was very pleased and very proud, and neither one of them have ever done that before, so I was they usually stay out of political campaigns. In fact, they always have, and I was deeply honored that both of them, who were responsible to a large degree for the end of the Cold War, would write a piece like that and ask the people of Arizona to send me back in order to keep my leadership in the United States Senate. I don't think I've been more honored.
This race with Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, mm-hmm. What does it come down to, in your opinion, Senator McCain? What's the bottom line here?
I think philosophy to start with about the role of government. Obviously, she is of the Democrat Party and a follower of Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. But also, what can we do for Arizona? What can we do internationally and specifically for the men and women who are serving in this in the military? And that ranges from protecting our bases, such as the A-10 at Davis-Monton, to basically reforming the Pentagon, which we are doing with our defense authorization bill, and what I have done for Arizona. Is I think all of those are legitimate questions, and hopefully we will have a couple of debates, hopefully one in Tucson, where we can expose the voters to our views, our record, and our promise for the future.
Senator, stick around. We've got another segment. I want to talk to you about this, what 8 years under President Obama meant for our economy. That'll be one of the areas we'll get into. 790-2040. If people would like to, our listeners would like to ask a question or make a comment, Senator McCain would be delighted to entertain those questions and comments. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Gladiator battles, the 10 plagues, and a misfiring burning bush. See Epic Proportions, a comedy play presented by Arizona Repertory Theater. September 21st through October the 9th. Watch Benny and Phil, two brothers who go from epic film extras to star and director, and fall for the same woman behind the scenes. See tomorrow's stars today at Arizona Repertory Theater at the University of Arizona, the other wildcat sport. Visit theater.arizona.edu to get your tickets to this epic comedy, Epic Proportions, season sponsored by Chapman Automotive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Arizona Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward 11 minutes now, toward 1 o'clock. I want to tell our friends about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, especially this time of year, as the autumn leaves start to turn at about that 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. Check out the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument just north of Silver City. It really is a great weekend getaway for all of our Tucson listeners. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Has the full listing of the many, many things to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. United States Senator John McCain with us on the Buckmaster Show on the live line from the nation's capital. Senator McCain, have a couple of listener questions for you, so let's get right at it. Roberta, you're first with Senator John McCain. Go ahead.
Hey, Roberta. Hi, Senator McCain. Are the people who sold the bomb-making supplies on eBay to that man in New York going to be arrested? And isn't there any way to block those websites that sell those supplies and recruit the terrorists?
I believe that they should be identified, and if it is anything to do with criminal activity, obviously. I think that there is and I haven't got really briefed on it, but from what I've been told, that some of the bomb-making materials in themselves are innocent materials. It's only when you put them together that you get a lethal mechanism. So we need to obviously try to make sure that that doesn't happen over the internet. And also, by the way, I think that encrypted, some of this information that is encrypted so that nobody knows what's being done over the internet, is something that we should have a system where an agency of government can go to a court and get a judge, which we call FISA court, to allow you to go into that site so that we can know what is going on. That is a very controversial issue with some of my friends on the other side of the aisle who believe that that's an invasion of privacy. I don't believe that the government should have carte blanche, but I do believe if they go to court and get permission to look at one of these sites, that they should be able to do so.
You have not been a big fan of Russian President Putin, and to say the very least. You suspect, I guess, that this Russian hacker may have struck at Arizona's data vote, or tried to anyway, get into our voter database here in Arizona. Was that, do you think, targeting, getting a little payback to you?
I honestly don't know, and I would be surprised if that was the reason. But again, there was two states, according to published reports, not any secret briefing. One was Illinois and the other was Arizona. I know that Mr. Putin has a special feeling about me because I was sanctioned by Putin. I was number one on his sanction list, but I honestly can't assert that it was Arizona was because of me. I simply don't have enough evidence of that. But it is kind of interesting of two of the states that, according to public reports, that they were attempted to hack into, Illinois, the home state of the president, and Arizona. But honestly, I have no proof of it whatsoever.
Let's go to John. John has a question for Senator John McCain. Go ahead, John.
Yes, Senator. John is the name, and really it's two questions, or this two sides of a question concerning women. I've known women. My mother was a woman. My wife is a woman, my sister. And I'm concerned about equal pay for women, and I'm concerned about health for women, such as cancer screening and birth control. So what I'd like to know is why you voted against equal pay, and what we should do if Planned Parenthood is defunded so that women can have cancer screening and birth control.
Okay, thank you, John.
Well, I think as far as Planned Parenthood is concerned, that I believe I'm pro-life, and I believe that I'm not, that I don't believe American tax dollars should be spent for the purposes of abortion. I do not believe that we should ban abortion, but I happen to be personally be pro-life. But I don't feel like spending Americans' tax dollars, including mine, who are opposed to abortion, that they should, American tax dollars should be spent for that purpose. And that's a position I've had for many years and will continue to have because I happen to be pro-life. And if a woman wants to choose what to do in certain circumstances, I believe they're entitled to do that. I just don't think we ought to spend tax dollars to do it.
Have you voted against? The other part of the question was equal pay for women.
Well, I don't believe that we should regulate the marketplace as to what should be dictated as to what, quote, equal pay is. Of course, we're all for equality. I am an ardent supporter of women, and I'm glad that our caller's mother was a woman and wife was a woman. I think that's really heartening and enlightening. But the fact is that we need to do everything we can to ensure there's an equal opportunity for women in all aspects of our society, including in the workplace. But for me to mandate exact equal pay just because of gender is something that I think is an unwarranted intrusion of the federal government in the marketplace.
You put out a report highlighting 25 regulations under the Obama administration that you say Senator McCain has cost the taxpayers a fortune.
Oh yeah, there's billions of dollars in the major reason why the economy has been the slowest recovery since the Great Depression is because of the blizzard of regulations that this administration has passed and this president. When he said, "I've got a pen and I've got a phone," he wasn't kidding. The barrage of federal regulations that are saddling Arizona's economy, hurting small businesses, strangling middle-class families, and robbing taxpayers to the tune of $348.7 billion. And the latest, of course, is Obamacare, which has turned into a complete failure, where, you remember the president said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care policy, you can keep your policy, period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, except for one county, every county in Arizona only has one provider. How do you have a choice there? It's unraveling, and of course the projected increases in premiums are skyrocketing. So that's just another example of Obamacare. And by the way, that's one of the biggest differences between myself and Congresswoman Kirkpatrick.
We've got our first presidential debate on Monday night. Yeah, coming up Monday night. Any advice?
Yep.
Has Mr. Trump? You are supporting Mr. Trump. Has he asked you for any advice for the presidential debate?
No.
if he did call and ask you, Senator McCain, what advice would you give him? What's he need to do on Monday?
Well, I'd have to point out the unalterable but a tragic truth, and that is that I lost running for president. So I'm not sure that my advice would be incredibly valid, given the fact that I lost in my presidential campaign. But, I'm sure he has excellent advisors.
Have you talked to him recently? Or?
No.
No. Okay. All right. So
on the occasion of my primary victory, I received a call from Rudy Giuliani, and Mr. Trump came on the phone and said congratulations on your victory, and I said thank you.
All right, Senator John McCain, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for spending a half hour with us. I appreciate it.
I thank you very much. It's always good to be with you, Bill.
Thank you very much. John McCain, senior senator from Arizona, with us on the Buckmaster Show. We do a lot of local talk here. We do national talk. We got Michael Medved coming up next. I always enjoy the Medved Show. Have a lot of respect for Michael. But we do a lot of local talk. It's one of our hallmarks here at Good News Communication and KVOI. We've got 4 Tucson at 4 after Medved with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then tomorrow morning, we do 3 hours of local talk from 6 to 9. The program is called Wake Up Tucson, hosted by Chris DeSimone. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you tomorrow. We've got the Secretary of State of Arizona. We might talk a little bit more about that attempted hacking into the voter database. Then we'll have a state historian, Dr. Jack August, will also join Michelle Reagan, talking about the new Capitol Museum, which is under the purview of the Secretary of State. So we've got a full show for you tomorrow, full hour as usual. My name is Bill Buckmaster. Ray Allen, my fine producer engineer, the two of us wishing you a great afternoon and evening.